Hey everybody, David Craig here. We're so excited that you've joined us for the Miracle Channel podcast. Today's message is from one of our very own Miracle Channel original pastors. It is always an honor to get to share some of our favorite Sunday messages with you here. Let's get into the podcast. John chapter 16, verse 7. I want to emphasize, this is among Jesus' last words to his disciples, to his boys. He's been hanging with them for a while. He's been walking and talking with Jesus, with the disciples. They've been walking and talking with Jesus. They've been seeing him in action. Not only have they been seeing him in action, they've been participating in this new kingdom life. They've been participating in seeing people being healed. They've been participating in casting out of unclean spirits in people. They've been bringing the gospel, Jesus, to people who are used to a system that essentially enslaved them spiritually before. And they're used to a system that they could never be good enough to fulfill. And Jesus has come to set them free. But there's an interesting couple of lines that Jesus says right before he's about to go. And he gives some final instructions. And we're going to revisit that in Acts as well with what he says. But if you have your Bibles, John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus starts off by saying, "However, I am telling you nothing but the truth." When Jesus has to tell you, he's telling you nothing but the truth, you know you should listen up to what he's saying. "I am telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away." What? Jesus, imagine the guys hearing this. What are you talking about, Jesus? Everything has become like good that you've been here. Now you're saying you have to go away. "Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict and he will convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me or trust in me. About righteousness, righteousness of heart, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged and condemned and sentenced already and passed upon him. I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or take them up now upon you or grasp them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The whole truth, the full truth. He will not speak on his own message or his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come." I want to bring us back and remind us, Jesus said, "I am truly telling you the truth." And he goes on and he emphasizes that it's better for him to go, and it's better for the disciples, for the people of God, for us by extension, that the Holy Spirit, that the Comforter comes in place of Jesus. Before we move on, would you pray with me? Let's pray together as a church. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this time to be able to gather around your word. Holy Spirit, we know and we thank you that you're going to do your work this morning in our hearts, in our lives. Father, root out anything that might be distracting or taking away from the word of God getting planted and getting rooted in our lives and our hearts. We want to see a harvest. We want to know you better. We want to know your word, Father. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And we thank you so much, God, for this community of church and all of the leaders and all the people that come to church, Father. We thank you that your hand is upon them, that you're leading them and guiding them. Also, Father, we lift up our country of Canada. We thank you so much for this beautiful country that we live in. It's a privilege and an honor to be a part of Canada, Father. And we lift up every single leader in our nation, in our provinces, in our cities and towns, Father, that you just continue to lead them and guide them, bring knowledge and wisdom and lead them into all truth, Father. And if they're receptive to that, praise God. And if they're not receptive to that, Father, if they do not want to lead this country in the way that you have them, Father, we thank you that other leaders are going to rise up and come into office to lead this country into freedom, into truth that's built on the foundations and principles of God's word. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone in agreement said, amen and amen and amen. It's a little bit of an upside-down kingdom that Jesus came to establish. And the reason why I'm using the term upside-down kingdom is It's not natural to how we think as human beings. Is that if you look at many examples throughout the Bible, if you look at this idea, what it says in Luke, it says, in order to live, you must die to self. It's a little paradoxical. It's a little bit backwards. Jesus talks about how the first shall be last. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me naturally. If I'm first, I'm first. But the last shall be first. It's this idea. If in order to receive, it says you shall give. So you see that these opposites that kind of work in this kingdom that God came to establish. And when Jesus came to establish his kingdom, it wasn't the same kingdom that the world was already. He doesn't measure the same way that we measure. If you keep score, God keeps score a little bit different. His power, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Does that make sense to anybody? In our earthly minds? Doesn't make sense. We have this little bit of this paradox that goes on in the Christian life. And I believe that as we've been going through and as we look at what Jesus was saying, there's something else that's a little bit backwards if you're looking at through your flesh or through your human eyes of Jesus telling his disciples, it is better for me to go so that someone else may arrive. See, these guys are used to, before Jesus came, they were used to the law. They were used to constantly not living up to where they should be. They're used to having to atone with sacrifices just to be able to have a relationship with God. Then Jesus came and the whole world changed. Jesus came and his disciples were empowered and were anointed and walked with them. They walked and talked with Jesus for 3.5 years and the world was spread. They were absolutely hearing the word of what Jesus was doing. People were being healed. Miracles were happening all over the place. So these disciples, they got used to the good life, eh? Compared to what they had before, that's what they got used to. And then Jesus, coming to the end of his ministry, coming to the end of his time on earth, he's now telling these guys, I gotta go, and it's better that I go. So you can see how their brains would be a little bit blown by, why would you have to leave Jesus? Have you seen what's been going on these last 3 years? But Jesus emphasizes that there is something better coming for the disciples. It's expedient. It's advantageous for every single one of us. So a little bit of a paradox for them. They didn't quite understand. It's so Jesus emphasizes so much so that one of the final instructions he told them was after Jesus ascends into heaven, after he goes up, before he does that, he tells them about in Acts chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost, which you guys would all know when the Holy Spirit descends upon the room and disciples and some others. But what happens before, Jesus literally tells these guys, guys, do not go forward and do anything else. Just go wait, go hang out in the room, don't do anything until Holy Spirit comes. Interesting statement, if you think of it. Because if anyone had permission to go and continue preaching the gospel, teaching, laying hands, helping people, it would be the disciples. They had every single right, you would think, to continue on what they were doing. But Jesus emphasized, if I'm going, do not even try to do anything. Just hang out. Just sit back until Holy Spirit comes. Jesus is emphasizing this Holy Spirit that's coming upon earth to empower every single person that has a relationship with Jesus. Jesus emphasizes, can you believe, if you had a choice, if you asked the average Christian, what would you rather have? Jesus in the flesh beside you, walking day by day, every single day, or a life with Holy Spirit? What do you think the average person would choose? Probably Jesus. And Jesus is saying, it's better to be with Holy Spirit. Is that a little bit of a paradox? Because I think I initially would be like, well, of course I want Jesus. But Jesus is evidently saying here, no, Holy Spirit is the one that you want to do life with. Yes, Jesus came for salvation. He died. He atoned our sins. Jesus went and made the way and opened the door for every single one of us. But Jesus was confined to one body. That was God coming down. But when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came, is now Holy Spirit and basically made tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, now millions of little Jesuses walking around, empowered by the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ, can dwell in you. So there's this emphasis. Thank you, Jesus, for Spirit, Holy Spirit being inside of us. But there is this emphasis on Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus was telling them, don't do anything until Holy Spirit comes. We have this gift of Holy Spirit at our fingertips. In fact, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have the same Spirit that lived and resided in Christ, the same Spirit that actually raised Christ from the dead, broken body that had no right to live, that same Spirit, it dwells inside of you. It lives inside of you. As Jesus said, it's there to lead you into all truth. It's there to empower you. Holy Spirit is there to help you, to be your advocate, to strengthen you when your own strength fails. Holy Spirit is here. But yet, here's the drop. So many Christians are leaving Holy Spirit on the sidelines. Talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, the chapter of love, but it's all built into this desiring the Holy Spirit and building this Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit living in our lives. We have Him a part of us, but if we're not in this position of earnestly desiring to live with Holy Spirit, to abide with Holy Spirit, to get to know His voice, to lean into Holy Spirit, is that we are living a life and we're not living the way that Jesus wanted us to live. See, the whole reason why Jesus came with His ministry to be able to get rid of an old way with this transitional period of 3.5 years, to bring in a new kingdom, a new covenant where Holy Spirit empowers everyone so that we can walk and talk and accomplish things like Jesus accomplished things. That is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet, if we're in this place where we're not pursuing this relationship with Holy Spirit, if we're not diving into, if we're not trying to live a life with Holy Spirit, you are living a life with Holy Spirit on the sideline. And you're missing out on what Jesus wanted you to do. You know, I remember when I was back in a former life playing hockey, and we'd be doing dry land training. And we had these things, they're called like the lightning bungee cords. Maybe some of you guys have tried these. And essentially what it would be like is I would have a waistband around here and a giant bungee cord that would go out from me. And I'd have a partner on the other side attached to the same side. And we start beside each other. And then what I would do is I would kind of plant myself like this. And the other guy would start walking this way. And eventually the bungee cord would get tight and tight. And this guy would be going, making it as absolutely tight as he possibly could. So I'm back over there stuck. And he's just, by the time you get to this cord where it's not stretched out, you're working on your power and your strength, just trying to get it as far out. And I remember is that when he got as far as he could, is that it was now my turn to basically release myself and run as fast as I could with this bungee cord whipping me along for probably a good, I would say, probably 25 yards, 30 yards of the distance we would have him. So as soon as I remember the first time like being scared out of my mind trying to do this thing, because you're about to be whipped. And I remember getting about 3 steps in and then getting face planted because it dragged me faster than my legs could go. But this was part of our hockey dry land training, is that the one guy would be getting the power, and then the other guy would have to run to get the quickness of the legs to try to keep up. And eventually, after a couple times of doing this, you start to get your rhythm and you get your feel, and your legs would go and you'd swap back and forth. We actually eventually would do this where, have fun at the end of the game, we'd have guys in the, we call it the gauntlet, doing the bungee cord, and all the other hockey players would have tennis balls. And you'd basically try to whip the tennis balls at the guys as they're running through. But the thing that I was thinking about with life with Holy Spirit is that if you're living a life where you're trying to do life on your own strength, if you're trying to live life where you're doing it on your own accord, if you're trying to get all the knowledge that you can, if you're trying to walk on your limited wisdom, if you're trying to do life on your own strength, on your own time, on your own way, it reminds me of the guy who is pulling out this bungee cord and it's tight and you're working and you have so much effort going, but you're just not getting so much ground done. You're sweating, you're striving to get this going. But then when you do life with Holy Spirit, with what Holy Spirit can bring you, it's like you're on this other side where all of a sudden you're ready to hop in, you let go, you dive in with Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you're on a ride of your lifetime that you had no idea what it was, and you're just trying to keep up. Because Holy Spirit is there to emphasize and to lift and to empower and to bring to you what life should be done like. Holy Spirit is that helper. So if you think you're smart on your own, imagine tapping into what Holy Spirit can do with you. I want to bring your attention to Philippians 1, verse 19. We're going to read, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 1, verse 19. This is a letter that's being written to the church of Philippi. Excuse me as I pull out my Bible. I never opened my proper Bible here. Philippians 1, verse 19. One word we want to focus on today, it says, "Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that this will turn out for my deliverance." There's another translation, if you look in the King James Version, it uses the word supply, that it will supply what I need. So I started diving into that because I've never stood out to me beforehand, but this relationship with the Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit in your life, and this word supply. So I started diving into what the word supply was, and if you look in the Greek, the original word for supply was epikorgio. It didn't say that right. It could be epikorgio. Any Greeks want to help me out after service would be more than helpful. But the word supply, and when you dive into God's word and you start to find out what these meanings, it just brings so much life when you can dive into it. But the word supply in this moment basically means on behalf of the choir. Does that mean anything to anybody? Didn't mean anything to me when I met that or when I read that. This word supply means on behalf of the choir in the original Greek. So then I started diving into what that means. This is what the Spirit does. The Spirit supplies. But what does that mean to supply when it's on behalf of the choir? But when this was being written, there was this common story that was being told in Greek literature that the average Greek would have known. So it'd be something like this. If I went and said to you, "Hey, Jesus Christ is the GOAT," how many people know what I mean? The greatest of all time, right? If I said that and someone wrote my words down and 500 years later they wrote and said, "Why is David calling Jesus Christ a goat?" right? They might not understand the translation. But when you read this, is that this is being written to a group of people that already understood what it meant to hear the words on behalf of the choir. And what it essentially was that you had this choral ensemble that was training for months and months. They put all their time, all their effort, all their money into one of the largest orchestral choral movements at the time. And they were planning on doing this giant show, but something happened. This is a really quick version, but something happened along the way is that they didn't foresee that they would run out of money. So they ran out of money halfway through their training. The show could not go on. They could not continue to go forth. But the moment that the show ended, that they could not go forth, they had no more funds, all of a sudden, this absolute generous man, this generous benefactor came over and he went and he supplied the choir with every single thing that they need. Not only did he supply it, he made a monetary donation that not only allowed them to continue on with what they were doing, but it actually covered every single one of their expenses beforehand. But not only that, it actually gave them enough that they did not know how to spend the rest of the money that was left over when this benefactor came and went and helped them with what they needed. So when you read this word, the Spirit of Jesus Christ supplies, is that is the same thing that happens, is that when you dive into Holy Spirit and have a life with Holy Spirit, is that this idea of supply, that Holy Spirit comes in, when you start to feel weak, when you start to feel like you can't go any further on your own, when you feel like you've come to the end of your knowledge, guess what? Holy Spirit is right there to supply over an abundance of what you could ever do on your own to come and make up the difference to lead you in the direction that you can go. It talks about in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14, about earnestly desiring the gifts of the Spirit. There are these beautiful gifts of the Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that we can operate with Holy Spirit that helps you live a life. Now, these gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the believer, the one that puts their faith in Jesus, to empower you and to lead you and to guide you and to essentially bring you on that wild bungee cord ride that you could have never thought before. And it's one thing that for me in the last, I'll probably say even number of years, but specifically the last 8, 9, 10 months, is that leaning into Holy Spirit, trying to understand and get used to His voice, trust His promptings, understand when He's leading and guiding, when He's saying yes, when He's saying no, is that for me, I started to really understand what it means to earnestly desire to have this relationship, but to emphasize these gifts. And I want to talk just really quickly about the gifts of the Spirit to give you an idea of what they are. And where we're going with all of this today is, I'm way off script, but we're going to keep running with it, if that's okay with you guys, is that Holy Spirit is there to lead you and to empower you. We talk a lot about faith and the Word of God, and that is absolutely vital, important. And Pastor Leon, for years, has talked about the emphasis of Holy Spirit, this inner man that's there to strengthen you and fortify you. And these two things, the Word of God and Holy Spirit, they work hand in hand. What good is it to have the Word of God, but if you're not being led and guided by Holy Spirit? And what good is it to have Holy Spirit lead and guide you if you don't have the Word of God built up in your heart to be able to move you and have the ammunition to unleash into the areas that Holy Spirit's bringing you? These things work hand in hand, and these gifts of the Spirit are weapons that the body of Christ has access to. If you look at the gift of wisdom, you look at the gift of knowledge, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. And man, when you start to understand what they are, and earnestly desire, man, I earnestly desire to have the gift of knowledge. I'll give you an example. As my boy, Gabriel, I'm sure you can put your if you have kids, put your kids in this position, is that maybe when my kid's 13 or 14 years old and he's going through something that he does not want to talk to me about, I want to know and trust that Holy Spirit is going to drop a little piece of knowledge in my spirit or on my mind so I know what to say to him, when to say to him, and be able to go and speak and talk with him so I can lead him down a path that he should go. That is Holy Spirit at work in your life. The gift of wisdom. If I'm faced with a decision and I don't know which way to go, and let's be honest, how many times have we been faced with decisions on our own accord and you feel like flipping a coin? Because I don't know. But in that moment, I trust and believe that Holy Spirit is going to be that gift of wisdom that's going to prompt me and lead me down a path that I should go down. Why? Because Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, they've already making a way for me, even if I don't see a way. But I'm not going to be able to walk down that if I'm not partnering with Holy Spirit on my daily life. Holy Spirit, this gift of wisdom, I don't know anyone better that operated in this gift of wisdom than our founding pastor and Pastor Leon. Is that even, I'll tell you a funny story with him, is that at the beginning of COVID, maybe you've heard some of the pastors say that, but I remember being in the room when COVID was happening, just starting, and we don't know if church is happening the next Sunday, and Pastor Leon goes and says, I want to do drive-in church. And I remember thinking, it's a stupid idea. It's not going to work. I was much more polite than saying that in a room, but I'm pretty sure almost everybody in the room were like, that's not going to work. But in that moment, thank God, Pastor Leon trusted Holy Spirit, that gift of wisdom, as opposed to his counselors that were around him that day. Because praise God for that. But if you look at that, what might have seemed a small decision in that moment, no, I believe in drive-in. Like, I'm thinking, drive-in? No one in my generation even goes to drive-in. All I think of is like a rundown, broken town with a drive-in screen that's half folded over, and that's what I think of drive-in. This doesn't have a good marketing side to this thing. But Pastor Leon pushed it through, said, make it happen. And you look at what's happened, the ripple effect since that decision, is that Spring Church, not only, praise God for, thank you God for Pastor Leon and what he did, but we look at what happened from that decision. You can't underestimate the power of Holy Spirit working in you because you have no idea the ripple effect that's going to continue on from that. Spring Church became a light to the nation through that time. Not just a light, it's continued on. How many people have been attracted to this church because of that. How many people have not just been attracted to this church, how many people have gained confidence and courage to speak up and stand with what their convictions are stating in times of trouble, in times when the popular opinion might be going a different way. Holy Spirit is there to lead you, to guide you, to help you, to give you these supernatural gifts that make no sense in the natural. The paradox, a gift of knowledge, what does that even mean? Well, if you're in the natural, you're not going to understand it. But if you're pursuing Jesus, earnestly desiring these gifts, diving into the Word, the supernatural starts to become your comfort zone. It starts to become this area where it's like, wow, I don't normally think like that. Maybe that's Holy Spirit dropping something on me. Or I got this nudge not to go this direction. I don't know what it is. It feels like something's holding me back. And you learn to trust this voice about where you go. If you are not living with Holy Spirit, now what I mean by that is if you have your life with Jesus, you have Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. But there is this continual working, this continual diving into God's Word, this continual quiet time, getting into the secret place. The secret place where we can commune with Holy Spirit, where you can receive from Holy Spirit, where you're just still and letting the Holy Spirit minister to your heart and to your mind. So many times we get caught up in going from one big emotional moment to another big emotional moment, to a moment of hype, to a big season, to another season. I think a lot of times we've gotten uncomfortable in this quiet and this stillness and this calm. And really, when you can learn to get back into those areas where in God's Word and you're leaving space for Holy Spirit to minister in your hearts and your minds, is that in those quiet moments is when Holy Spirit fortifies you, is you get an intimate relationship where you know His voice. Holy Spirit is there to lead you into a life that you could have never imagined. He's there to help you. And we don't go to the secret place to go and to be able to have access to these things. We go to the secret place because that is the reward, the relationship with God, this relationship with Holy Spirit. And if there's no margin in your life, and there's just a little piece of advice for me, if there's no margin in your life for that type of thing, you have to find and create margin to be able to have this relationship, this intimate relationship. Because when the noise of the world is screaming at you and you're hoping just to find out what's the right way, but you don't have that intimate relationship, you're going to have a tough time deciphering what Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you. But if you're spending that time relationally with Holy Spirit, diving into God's Word, getting to know Him, but leaving space for Him to minister to you, is that in the toughest of times, you're going to recognize that voice when it tells you, go a different direction. And it's going to train you. It's going to bring you into areas you could have never, ever foreseen. The gift of healing. I believe in this one. We've seen it in this church over and over again. Is that if something happens to my son Gabriel, it's out of my control. I'm believing in that moment that Holy Spirit working through me is I can lay hands on my son and he will recover. These are gifts that we have as a body of Christ that is available to you to live and to operate in the here and now. Hey, if you're a university student, let's say you just graduated high school and you have no idea what you're going to do with your life. Maybe you think I have to figure out everything right now. Guess what? The best thing that you can do for your life right now is lean into Holy Spirit. Dive into God's Word. Get that part of your life so secure so that when you're navigating the trials that university brings, when you're navigating early work life, when you're trying to figure out your family and all this stuff, is that you have Holy Spirit. It's a superpower that allows you to help you to make the right decisions, to bring back to remembrance the things that you are studying. It might not make sense in the natural, but when you dive in, it starts to make sense in the supernatural. We haven't even gotten to any of my 5 points this morning, you guys. We are so behind. We're over minus time already. I'm going to just read a couple things for you. Is that point one, I guess, we'll go here. I believe that life with Holy Spirit is crucial. And if you're not earnestly desiring life with Him, you are leaving Holy Spirit on the sidelines. You're not living the way that God's intended you to do. I believe Holy Spirit's there to lead you and to guide you. I also think, number two, I believe that I'm called to build God's church. I believe that you are called to build God's church. I believe that Holy Spirit empowers all of us to build God's church. I'm not just talking about brick and mortar locations, but I am now talking about brick and mortar locations. If you're coming to Springs Church and you're here, you are called to help build Springs Church. If you live in a different city, you are called to help build that life-giving church in that city. Why? Because the church of Jesus Christ is the vehicle in which the kingdom of God expands here on earth. These gifts of the Spirit, they are here to help us so that we can lift up the body of Christ, so we can edify each other, so that we can help lead and guide each other, that we can be around to be able to lift this body of Christ to show people what life is like with God. This is the whole plan of God, is that when man fell, he sent his son Jesus so that we could get a way back to him, but not just get a way back to him, to bring open the age of the church so that the church can grow and build and reach people and have this community of people, because God desired a family. This is what Holy Spirit can do, is that if you feel like maybe, man, I just haven't gotten to know people at church, well, you know what? Just get involved. Come out to church. Find people. Lean in the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me make friends. He'll make you friendlier. And then people will be attracted to you. The thing is, though, Holy Spirit is there to empower. I had five things I was talking about empower. We'll get to the other three in different services. But Holy Spirit is there to help you. And if we're leaving Holy Spirit on the sidelines, it's not a super deep message. But if you want to dive into what Holy Spirit can do, what Holy Spirit is meant to do, dive into 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And find out what these spiritual gifts are. Find out what Holy Spirit is there to lead you and guide you. Because when you study the Word, when you study and get God's Word planted on your heart, you are learning who God is. You are learning who you are. You are learning the will of God. You're starting to understand who He is. You're starting to understand His voice. But as you dive in and then you leave space and you earnestly desire. Now, we didn't dive into a ton of what an earnestly desire means. But if you think of anything you really earnestly desire, right? Like when I was in high school, I earnestly desired my now wife, Danielle. So what that meant was there was effort to pursue her. If you earnestly desire relationship with Holy Spirit, if you earnestly desire these gifts of the Spirit in your life, there's effort. There is a leaning in. There is this leaning into God. And the beautiful thing what Scripture says, when you draw near to God, is that He always draws near to you. He will never leave you hanging. So if there is something in your life that you're just struggling with, if you've hit a brick wall in business, in marriage, in raising your kids, in any one of these areas, what I'm going to challenge you with today is ask you the question, are you involving Holy Spirit in that area to bring you the supernatural knowledge that you might need, this wisdom, this ability to be able to see miracles happen, knowing that Holy Spirit, Jesus again emphasized, it's better that I leave and Holy Spirit comes to be with you. Disciples, don't do anything until Holy Spirit comes. Christians, in the year 2023, don't even try to do life without Holy Spirit. He is there to lift you. He is there to guide you. He is there to elevate you. He is there to lead you into truth and to knowledge. He is there to empower you. He is there to help you go and lay hands on people to see them recover. He is there to help you put hands on people and see their lives change. He is there to help you build the church. He is there to help you raise your family. He is there to lead you in your business. He is there to make you a better husband. He is there to make you a better wife. This is life with Holy Spirit. And if we're not living in this movement, the secret place with Holy Spirit, I'm just letting you know you are missing out on what Jesus said is actually better for you to have in your life.
Thank you so much for listening to the Miracle Channel podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes, and stay tuned for new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.